emotionally, there's a kind of a tearing of leaving home, of leaving family, of leaving friends. But when I woke up on Monday morning here and got in my car to drive to work, my spirit was going, yes, so good to be back. And I trust that you also feel the Lord's pleasure upon you to be here. Many of you have been here through the hot summer, and I commend you. The week before we left in Canada, it actually snowed in Calgary, August long weekend. So I think the Lord is preparing us to come back to Egypt. Anyway, it's great to be back. Take your Bibles, if you will, this morning and turn in the Old Testament to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. Today we're going to begin a trek into the wonderful world of mystery. How many of you enjoy mystery? You enjoy reading mysteries or watching mysteries or exploring them? Have you ever noticed how the entertainment and media industries capitalize on our desire to explore mysteries? Whether it's bringing dinosaurs to life on the big screen, or whether it's documenting a probe of the universe, or whether it's a romantic novel with a bizarre twist, or whether it's a hot stock market tip, or whether it's a supposed sighting of aliens, or a scientific breakthrough in some area. We all seem to be captivated by new discoveries and new insights, things that we've never seen or understood or observed before. Most people, I think, would like to know or find out something about what they don't know. Are you in that category? Would you like to know something that you don't know? Most of us are fascinated, actually, by what we cannot know. You know, if you know you can go to school or whatever and take a course and get the knowledge, that may be interesting, but we're more intrigued by what we apparently can't know. Those are called mysteries. I read about a backwoods farmer who went to the city for the first time in his life. He had an old beat-up jalopy car, and he took his 13-year-old son and his wife. They'd never been to the city, and they kind of putted along the road and got into the big city, and their eyes were as big as saucers. Everything was brand new. All they knew was their little shack in the woods. And they got in, then they were just, wow, wow, wow. Anyway, they finally, after hours, made it to downtown. Somebody told them they had to stay at a hotel, and so they saw this sign, hotel, and they drove up, and the man told his wife to stay in the car, wasn't quite sure what she might need in there. And so the son and the father went into the hotel, and they just, unbelievable, they saw this big chandelier hanging from a 30-foot ceiling. They'd never understood or seen anything like this. They saw things, and it was just overwhelming for them. When finally what captivated them was what appeared to be a mystery box. They watched on the other side of this huge lobby area these doors that would open up. And people would walk in, and the doors would close, and they were gone. And then a minute later, the doors would open, and somebody else would walk out, appearing from nowhere. They had never seen an elevator. They stood there for 20 minutes watching as this phenomena kept on happening. People coming and going, disappearing, appearing. And then all of a sudden, this woman, who was about the same size and age of the man's wife, walked in and stood in front of these magic mystery doors, and they opened up, and she walked in, and they closed behind her. And 20 seconds later, they opened, and out walked an absolutely stunningly beautiful young woman. And the man hit his son on the shoulder and said, "Quick, boy, go get your mother." Now, you may or may not understand how an elevator works. I think most of us do. But in other areas of our lives, perhaps there may be some ignorance, some lack of understanding. Let me ask you this morning, are there any issues? Are there any subjects or concepts or realities that kind of leave you baffled? That make you wonder, how in the world does that work? Can you explain, for example, how to get a teenager to want their parents' advice? Is anybody here who knows 100% sure what happens 30 seconds after your heart stops beating? How many of you know how to heal a broken heart or a broken marriage? Have you ever wondered why there's so much pain and agony and crime and hatred in this world? Have you ever looked up into the star-studded sky at night and wondered, how did it all get there? Or where does this universe end? In Job 11, 7 to 9, God asked Job, "Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? They are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the underworld. What can you know? Their message, or their measure rather, is longer than the earth and wider than the sea. Now I realize there will always be some people who think they know it all. You may be married to one of them. But those people who are mature, well, like Job, realize that there is much, much, much that we do not understand. Thomas Edison, the genius inventor, once said, "We don't know a millionth of 1% about anything." Now, I realize that the human database of information and knowledge is doubling every couple of years now. But if you realize that most of that information that is coming in and being studied could classify as mere informational trivia. In other words, what we are learning will have almost no bearing upon your life and mine. It makes no impact on how we live or the quality of our lives. For example, if you could understand absolutely how snails mate, would that do anything for the quality of your life? Or if you really could understand exactly the color hues of rocks on Saturn, would that mean much for you? You see, there's a lot of mysteries in this world that we would like to know about, but they really don't have an impact on your life. But dear friends, there are many mysteries that we do need to understand. Indeed, there are mysteries that God wants us to understand, and that is what we're going to examine in the Bible study series that we're going to venture into beginning this morning. It will take us into the beginning of Advent. The English word mystery comes from the Greek word mysterion, which means a sacred secret or something concealed that can be revealed. Now, as you can tell from the bulletin insert, if you've taken time to look at it, we're going to, in the coming weeks, be examining the mystery of the future, the mystery of evil, the mystery of God's will, the mystery of God's involvement in human history, the mystery of marriage, and many other mysteries that are found in the New Testament. All of them have incredible significance for our lives. I believe that God wants to take that which is hidden and make it known to you. He wants to reveal that which is concealed. I'm just wondering, are anybody interested in that kind of thing? I hope so. If you know others who also might be interested in some of these mysteries, why don't you invite them to come to church? You know, people may not even share your beliefs, but they would like to know what happens after they die. They may not share your beliefs, but they'd really like to know what's going to happen in the future. They may not share your beliefs, but you know, they are just as puzzled as you are at why in the world there's so much evil. We're going to be looking at these things. Invite them to come, and God can reveal them to you and to them as well. Today we're going to start with a wonderful reminder that God is the revealer of mysteries. And so go with me to Daniel chapter 2. And I encourage you this morning, not this morning, but all through this year, study these passages in advance and bring your Bibles, because we're going to draw from the Scriptures our information, our insight, and the revelation of mysteries. So this is not just for me. Bring your Bibles. We want to make it a good study. Our story this morning swirls around Nebuchadnezzar. He was the king of Babylon in about 604 BC when this story took place. King Nebuchadnezzar had a very mysterious dream or series of dreams that deeply, deeply troubled him. He was deeply agitated in his spirit until God, through the prophet Daniel, revealed what the mystery was to him. Now, before we examine the mystery in this chapter and look for life application for us today, why don't we ask the Lord Himself to open our eyes, to open the understanding of our spirit and help us to understand. So pray with me, if you will. Lord Jesus, as we begin this exciting study of mystery and how You want to reveal it to us, we pray, Lord, that we would learn more than just historical information or data or story. We pray, Lord, that through Your ancient and timeless Word, You will speak to our hearts, minister to our spirit, and open up not just the eyes of our earthly understanding, but open up the eyes of our spirit to see and understand and follow hard after You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm beginning Daniel chapter 2 at verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and then interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and then explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I am certain that you are trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." Have you ever been kind of upset or agitated by something that you don't understand in your life? Anybody? Verse 3, he says, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Now, you may not have had the kind of dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had, but I can pretty well guarantee that every one of us have had dreams of our own, longings of our own, hopes or desires of our own in life that we just can't figure out, no matter how hard we try. Is there anyone here who had financial dreams that seemed to bite the dust this last couple of years with the stock market volatility? Didn't see it coming, did you? Is there anyone here whose dream of a happy marriage kind of turned into a nightmare? Some of you dreamed you could enjoy the basic securities of life, only to be uprooted and sent running. Some of you are wondering what in the world to do with that child. Now, what about that pain or that growing lump? Some of you are wondering what in the world God wants to do with your life, or if He wants to do anything with your life, or if He has a plan for you. Some of you are wondering, is there a mate out there for me? And if so, who in the world are they? Dear friends, life is full of mysteries. Some of them are small, some of them are big. But deep down within each of us, there is a hunger for discernment. We don't want to fail. We don't want to go through life being stupid. We don't want to be out of the loop. We don't want to be ignorant. I don't know anybody who says, "My goal in life is to be absolutely stupid. My goal in life is to be completely ignorant of life and the fact." Nobody wants to be that. We want to know. We have a hunger to know. God built us with that. And so what do? So we get educated. Like Nebuchadnezzar, we seek advice, we seek interpretation, we seek information. And there's lots of people ready to give it in our world today. And so we read their books, we take their classes, we attend their seminars, we watch their movies, we buy their courses, we study their horoscopes. We listen to barbers and gurus alike. We channel spirits. We do anything and everything to try and get past the mysteries that block our progress. We want to know. But in all our searching, more often than not, we are left empty still, with information that kind of hangs on the vine as dead fruit. It just doesn't hit the mark. Nebuchadnezzar was frustrated with his magicians and enchanters, sorcerers and astrologers, because he didn't just want them to explain the dream. He wanted them first to tell him what he dreamed. Pretty tall order, isn't it? Now, some scholars think that Nebuchadnezzar perhaps forgot his own dream and he was wanting the people to remind him. Have you ever had a dream and wake up and forget what it was? Some think that was what was going on here with Nebuchadnezzar. Others think that this was a test that Nebuchadnezzar was throwing down to weed out the fakes from his court. Either way, the request was a major frustration to these self-help professionals of his day. Look at verse 10. The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. These guys were in essence saying to the king, come on, Neb, get a life. Get real. You're asking for the impossible. You want somebody from outside of this realm, somebody from the other side of the mystery to speak into your world, and Neb, it's just not going to happen. That's not the way life works. Get used to it. Verse 12, this made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. And so the decree was issued to put the wise men to death. And men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. Dear friends, have you ever noticed that there's a lot of hassle that takes place in our lives as a result of our darkness? As a result of our lack of understanding? As a result of our confusion about the basic mysteries of life? When we don't understand the mysteries before us, we feel trapped. When the puzzle is too hard to complete, we lose hope. When the solution seems beyond our reach, we become agitated and perhaps angry. And when others seem to block our progress, we want them removed, terminated, eliminated, out of the way. And that is precisely where most people in the world today live, right there. We can't make sense of the world of wonder, even though there are many strange voices all around of us trying to tell us what to do and what to believe and what to understand. We must admit we live on the dark side of ignorance. We live on the dark side of mystery, and we wonder why we feel trapped and hopeless with growing anger and hostility boiling over in our soul. Dear friends, God never intended us to live there. Hear me. God never intended us to live there. He wants His mysteries known and understood. But He doesn't lay the answers, He doesn't lay the revelation of these mysteries on the ground for all to see and to kick around like a soccer ball. In Luke 8:10, Jesus said to His disciples, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God have been given to you, but not to them. To others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see. Though hearing, they may not understand." In other words, Jesus is saying, the secrets of God, the understanding of the mysteries, are not just free, a free-for-all. They're available, but they're not easy. Proverbs 25:2 reminds us, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, to hide it. To search out the matter is the glory of kings. You see, God has purposely hidden His truth from the casual observer, but He gladly invites you to be involved in the search process. He wants you to seek so that you can find. He wants you to knock so the door will be opened. He wants you to ask so that you will receive, but He wants you involved in the process. He doesn't just independently or just freely dispense it to anybody. He wants you involved in finding the mystery, and here's why. Because He doesn't just want to reveal to you the mystery. He wants you in the seeking to find the revealer of the mystery. Write that down. God doesn't want you just to find the answer to the mystery. He wants you in the search process to find the revealer of the mystery. You see, some people only want answers. They seem to be satisfied with answers. They think that if they can just get the answer to their question, they will be satisfied. But folks, take a look. Do answers satisfy our soul? They never do. If I could explain in exact detail why that child died, if I could explain in exact detail why the accident happened, or the specific process of how the loss took place, would your soul be satisfied? Would that say, oh, okay, now that feels good? No. If we understood in detail, in exact detail, how evil grows, would that eliminate it?
Dear friend, your soul and mine need more than just insight into the mystery. We need connection to the one who is beyond the mystery. Our spirit was created to know Him. We therefore long to know Him. Indeed, our spirit needs to know Him. Far more than a reason, we long for a relationship. Do you hear that? Far more than a reason, we need a relationship. The revealer of mysteries is that person, and that person is none other than God Himself. I believe this is an area where, unfortunately, many professing believers stumble. You see, if and when God does not act according to how we think He should, have you ever had that? You've prayed something, and you are guaranteed in your life, you say, yes, this is what God's going to do, and you even tell people about it. And then He does something different. What do you do? What do you do when God acts in a way that is outside your understanding, outside your comprehension, outside your theology? What do you do? Many Christians lose heart. Some Christians lose their faith. Dear friends, when did God ever promise that life would be smooth? As a matter of fact, Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Tribulation and trouble. The Scripture says, all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer blessing. Is that what it says? It says suffer what? Persecution. Dear friends, the key to victory in the tough times, in the times when we don't understand, the key in those times to understanding is not just understanding the mystery, but knowing the revealer of mysteries is walking with you. The key in those times is knowing that the revealer of mysteries is holding on to you and that He promised He would get you through safely to the end, regardless of what comes your way. Isn't that what David declared in the famous 23rd Psalm when he said, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when I'm in the midst of that place where life doesn't make sense, where my heart is being torn apart, where everything in life is assaulting me, even there, I will not fear evil. Why? Why? Because I took a doctoral degree in mysteries? Why? Because I really know how to pray? Why? Because I'm a Class A Christian? What's the answer? Why do I not fear evil in the midst of this horrible hellhole when I can't understand life? Why? Because Thou art with me. That's the key. Not just to understand the mystery, but to know the revealer of mysteries is walking with me. That's when life starts to come together. Look at verse 16. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Then Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Now this sermon is not about cell groups, but Daniel had his cell group. Where do you go when your life is falling apart? Where do you go when you've got a mystery that's bigger than you? Where do you go when you desperately need to pray with somebody? Dear friends, if you're not connected to other believers, where you can go, where together you can get before God and pray your issue through, you're in a sad place. God wants you connected. Get involved in a cell group this year for your benefit, for the benefit of the others, for the glory of God. It's to your advantage. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Now listen to these words. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. I thank and praise You, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. What the king may himself have forgot, what all the guys in his court, what the most educated people in the clan didn't have a sniff about, God says, you want to know? There it is. I give you that information. There it is. Can you see Daniel doing victory laps in his living room that morning when he woke up? They say, well, no, he may have been more silent and contemplative. Well, I don't know what his personality was, but I can tell you he was a pretty excited puppy that morning. He was probably, well, maybe I'm guessing, but I think he was kind of jumping for joy, shouting his praise. This is major victory, folks. Major victory. God just unzipped the heavens and poured revelation into his mind. He showed a movie on the backside of his eyeballs. Even while Daniel slept, God was at work providing the insight. God was doing what only he can do. He was bringing light into the darkness. I've had the privilege in my life a couple times of having this kind of experience. Times when I've had absolutely no way of knowing what to do next, or when I was up against timelines that I just couldn't humanly handle. And while I slept, God brought light. He brought direction. He brought ideas and sometimes specific information or words into my brain so that I actually had to jump out of bed and run to the table and write it down. And when he does that, my soul, like Daniel's, erupts with hallelujahs. I overflow with praise because I realize there's a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Verse 24. Boy, it's been a while since I've preached. My voice is going. Do you mind if I get some water here? Verse 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, please note, Daniel didn't say, "Yes, I can." Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these." Do you hear it, King Nebuchadnezzar? Your magicians and astrologers couldn't help you. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Your enchanters, your diviners couldn't help you. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Your business executives, your financial directors, your civic counselors, your highly trained educators, they couldn't help you either. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Pull it ahead, folks. Pull it ahead 2,600 years to today. Do you hear it, people? When it comes to the real mysteries of life, the ones that will make you or break you, the ones that will determine the quality of your life here and hereafter, the ones that will set you on the road of life or leave you in the ditch of death, you're not going to get any help from the gurus and the channelers. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. You're not going to find your way by reading another horoscope, by sitting through another seance, or by having your friends pool their ignorance. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And you're not going to satisfy your soul with more money or power or pleasure or earthly securities. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Do you hear it? In verse 29 to 45, Daniel then repeats in precise detail the king's dream and provides an exact explanation and what it meant. In verse 46, we pick up the story. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel. Get it? The king's on his face. The king falls prostrate and paid honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. And the king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries. For you were able to reveal this mystery." You see, friends, when God disclosed the mystery to Daniel, he erupted with praise. When the mystery was revealed to King Nebuchadnezzar, he also expressed genuine praise, even though there was negative information in the revelation about the ending of his personal kingdom.
Dear friends, I believe with all my heart the world is full of people who would love to be part of a church like that. And that's precisely the kind of church that Jesus came to create. Now, I don't know what has taken us so far off course throughout history, but today I want to move towards understanding and living out the true mystery of the gospel. I don't want to be one who announces bad news. I have absolutely no desire to spend my time and my life and my energy encouraging systems that keep people away from God. I want my life to joyfully declare it's time for God's party. This is the mystery of the gospel. Have you discovered the mystery of God's news for your own life? Have you discovered how incredibly precious to Him you are? Have you made that discovery? Have you come to the party that He's throwing just for you? If you've heard another gospel, one of rules and regulations, one of self-righteous judgment, one of dead religious forms, then please, for God's sake and for your sake, don't accept it. Don't get tied up in it. But when you hear the true news, the true good news of God's mysterious, passionate, costly love, as I trust you have today, and don't blow it off as just a nice religious story. It is God's ultimate storyline for your life. If you will believe it, and if you will receive it. It's yours to experience and definitely yours to proclaim. This is the good news. This is the great news. This is the grandest news of all time. This is the mystery of the gospel. Please join me in prayer. Father, we confess to you that throughout the ages, and perhaps even to this day, we, like those in Galatia, have twisted your gospel story. We have twisted it by our personalities, by our own positions and power and desire for prestige and whatever else we can add to it, Lord. We have made it into something that you never intended it to be. Lord, we ask you for your forgiveness. Like the religious leaders in Jesus' day, we have often developed systems that actually keep people away from you rather than bring them to you. Oh God, please prune us. Strip us back. Take away all the residual stuff that is not important to you. And help us in our individual lives and as a church become a place that truly, with word and by our lives, joyfully announces the good news of Jesus Christ.
This we ask for your sake and for your glory, and for the benefit of all those who still have yet to know it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.